Welcome to On the Frontline, the Safety Learning and Operations Podcast. My name is Dr. Gina Anderson, and I am the CEO and co-founder of Luma Brighter Learning. We are celebrating the people designing better outcomes for those who move our industries. Stick around to the end of the show, and we'll reveal how you could be our next guest to be celebrated in about 15 to 20 minutes. Let's go. Hello, everyone. I'm really excited today for my special guest. And I wanted to start out just by explaining and exploring that leadership really doesn't start in boardrooms alone. It actually happens in moments under pressure with imperfect information and real people counting on you. This is the Frontline Podcast, where we have real conversations about leadership, learning, and growth, where work actually happens. And today I'm joined by Brandon Randall, and he is the corporate safety manager at Performance Food Groups. But most of his work centers around special projects and reporting within safety and risk. He builds systems that takes complex operational and compliance data, and he turns them into something leadership can actually use to make real decisions. Brandon's role sits at the intersection of safety, strategy, analytics, and operations, all focused on helping the business run safer and smarter. And I know him, and he cares deeply about leadership development. In trucking and logistics, he believes we do a great job recognizing high performers, but we often promote them into frontline leadership roles without even actually equipping them with the skills needed to lead people well. So that gap between operational performance and leadership capacity is something that he cares deeply about, and he is here and joins me to speak today. So Brandon, thank you so much for joining me. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your passion for leadership and really what leading from the front line means to you.
Yeah, so thanks for having me. Having an education background, I kind of learned human behavior from seventh graders, not to compare adults to seventh graders, but they are human. They just don't hide their disengagement as well as adults. So I was really able to learn that people really respond to leadership either in a good way or poorly. And I think, you know, our frontline leaders probably have the most important job in an organization, because every organization has a mission statement or vision. And those frontline leaders are the ones that execute that, either by honoring what that mission is to the people that they are in charge of, to take care of, or they undermine it with poor leadership. And I think that's where our people either learn to trust our organization or learn to not trust it. And so I think the frontline leaders have one of the most important tasks every day, because they set the tone for our people, especially just in regular interactions. Because we, you know, leaders all have pressure from various areas, and you know, our job is to shoulder that and give our people the confidence and clarity to perform. And if they see our leaders stressed out, not taking their humanity seriously, and taking their eye off calmness, that's how our teams end up producing their work. It's just how their leaders treat them. So I think the frontline leader has so much influence over the success of organizations. And I really believe that a leader that's prepared to lead can do that and be really successful.
I love that. I also love that you compare this to seventh graders, because that's so true. Like thinking about, you know, just this purity and learning from each other and learning so that you can lead from the front line. What do you think that leading from the front line in your experience has taught us What do you think that leading from the front line has taught us about humanity?
Well, you know, people match energies when they're interacting with the people that are responsible for them. It's just natural to either be engaged in what they're working on or to go into more of a self-preservation mode. So I think, you know, our leaders really can impact our people's lives, not just in the work they do, but just how they, something I did also learn as a teacher is taught social studies and history in seventh grade. And I don't expect that 20 years from when I taught them that they'd be able to recite things that, you know, dates and people and places. But I would expect that they remembered how I made them feel in that classroom. And I think our leaders also have that kind of impact. If somebody goes to work and they have a really hard job, which in our industry, the work is incredibly hard for our drivers and our warehouse associates. And it's physically demanding, it's exhausting. And if they come in every day and feel like their work matters, that our leaders have made them feel part of that process, I think that kind of clarity to their overall purpose and mission gives them some calmness to be able to execute that. And they start to own their work as opposed to just getting things done to get through the day. So, you know, I think the humanity part of frontline leadership is, relevant every day. And I think the energy that frontline leaders bring to that job can either prop that up or it can destroy it.
Absolutely. I felt your kindness before on calls. I felt your energy, Brandon. It's beautiful because it does matter. It does matter. Like, even people you don't know, like, you show up as a leader and you give off that energy and it changes us. It changes how you feel throughout the day, because in that moment on a call, you could feel, you know, devastated. You could feel down, and a leader steps up with that energy and shows up. So I really can appreciate that. And, you know, it's incredible. In this industry, you mentioned it's really hard. Like, have you seen a system or a tradition that you would redesign? What would it be instead? What do you think we could do to improve leading from the front line?
Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned earlier that one of the things that I've learned, I was a frontline leader. I mean, we're all frontline leaders at the end of the day, but when I had spent substantial time in a warehouse on the floor of being a loading supervisor, I noticed that we are very good at identifying the most effective workers, whatever we're doing, because it's obvious that they're hardworking and that they don't make mistakes. Or if they do, they know how to correct them, you know, before it becomes a huge issue. I think we're attracted to that for leadership openings. And who wouldn't be? You would want a Michael Jordan for every leadership role you had until you realize that being really good at the task that you're now asking them to lead doesn't necessarily mean they're going to grow into an amazing leader unless we offer them education on how to become a good leader. Leadership is a skill set that you can acquire over time. And we really need, as an industry, to empower our leaders. And I know this would be unpopular and it would slow things down, but I wouldn't put somebody in a leadership position over multiple people until we had trained them on how to do that, because their first impression with the people that they are to take care of in that role, you get that one time. And if you come in and things are not going the way they would for you because you were an amazing worker at that job, you end up kind of defaulting to, why don't they do this like I did? And then that creates a frustration. And then, you know, I generally believe that people want to please others. I don't see them as going through life trying to upset people and not do a good job. So when you're feeling like you're a disappointment constantly to the leadership that you're trying to please, eventually, again, you just kind of climb into that self-preservation mode, and it makes it really difficult for that relationship to thrive. So I think, you know, we got to first identify people that can lead themselves. Mm-hmm. And then once they have proven that they can lead themselves, then you start expanding that influence. But with each influence role that you expand them to, you have to prepare them for courageous conversations, accountability, things that matter. But most importantly, you know, can you lead yourself, and can that be something that the people that you are leading can trust and feed off of? Because I really believe that if we train our leaders up to do a good job, then the work takes care of itself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love this idea that you said, Brandon, that it's like nobody goes to work thinking today I'm going to do a bad job. You know, I don't believe that. I think you're right on there, that everyone wants to aspire to be great and do good work. So this idea that you have that, you know, people are going to remember how you made them feel and being present in the moment. Because how many leaders have we known, right, that like are in the moment, but they're there, but their minds are thinking about that contract they have to do or the email they have to respond to. And in the, being a frontline leader is about being present and making those impacts. So I think that's really powerful. Have you seen any innovations in your organization or in your career that maybe emerged from an unexpected place from these conversations that you might be thinking or having?
Yeah. So one of the most meaningful examples of innovation in our organization, it really didn't start with any kind of big announcements or push. It really just started with clarity. You know, we have all this data, we measure everything. And if you're not careful, you can get trapped in kind of valuing everything that's measured. And I, you know, we've had a real big push internally to measure what we value instead. And when we start taking all those data points and putting them together to make sense, it really allows the people that rely on that data to make better decisions that make more sense. In my space, deal in safety. And so we've worked really hard to take multiple data sources and put them in Power BI reports that we can put some visibility on things that we value that can help us go from kind of constantly looking at what went wrong, because you know, we try to celebrate the wins and safety, but we do spend a lot of time dealing with trying to learn the lessons of safety issues where, you know, the either we failed to train properly or the associate failed to make a decision and it led to an injury or an accident that, you know, you thank God every day when it's not serious. But these things can really impact not only the lives of our associates, but, you know, in a general sense, the motoring public when we're out on the roads. So we kind of have taken a hard look at revisualizing our data in a way that we can get proactive with our decision-making and planning and help identify key areas that we need to focus on. Because we really didn't see where we were lacking effort. We were just lacking clarity and visibility. Mm-hmm. And once that happens, then our locations aren't really waiting for direction anymore. They have the data they need to be proactive and can start taking action. Because if we notice something, waiting a month and a half, 2 months, the next fiscal year to make plans to fix something makes no sense. And that's mm-hmm. kind of, I left education. I mean, I'm still in education, yeah. just in a different sense.
Right.
But I really enjoyed the fact that, you know, in school, you kind of look at standardized test scores and that year's behind. And
right.
and then you just kind of have to move forward. But in this space, you can identify issues immediately and put plans in place to address them and change them right away. And I really like that. It's awesome when you can identify something and try and fix it and provide help to people who desperately want it, because nobody wants to get hurt and no one wants to see their people hurt. It, you know, on the human side, it's tragic at times what people go through with injuries. And if we can help prevent those, you know, I really believe that that's where people feel valued and cared about, when we're putting things in place to help them prevent that.
I love that. That is so important. It's not just a check a box. It's like, what you do is you want to change lives and save lives. And that's the beauty of it. Years from now, Brandon, what do you want people to remember about not only the work you're doing, but your leadership, and somebody to say, like you said, the students, but in your role today, 10 years from now, what do you want them to remember?
Yeah. So, you know, 10 years is a long time and a short time. Mm-hmm. And so there are things that are not going to change in 10 years, and that's human beings, people. But what can change are the tools and the technology. And I really hope that, you know, 10 years from now, that we are still focusing on being intentional with our frontline leaders and preparing them so that they can use these tools to enhance the relationships that they've established with the people that they are charged with taking care of. I try not to say in charge of, because we don't want to create managers. You know, that really, that I think we get stuck there sometimes, where we do take that best worker and promote them, and they're just managing the work. And to me, that's tragic. Because it just creates this vacuum of just getting things done. So I hope 10 years from now that we're still investing in the skill set that leaders need to be successful with their people, because we know that the technology is going to improve. You know, 3 weeks from now, something's going to be added to Microsoft products that are going to change. Yeah, it just happens constantly. And so, you know, we need people to be aware of those kind of changes and be ready to implement them. But we also need to be hyper-focused on leadership training and preparing people so that when they get into those roles, it won't matter what the technology is. That can give them better information quickly and help them get jobs done safer. But that relationship of them as the leader over their people is something that I don't think technology is ever going to fix, unless we start working for robots. And I hope that that never happens.
No way. We don't want that. You know what? It's always going to be human. We need the human connection. I mean, it's powerful. It changes us. And, you know, I wanted you to come on my podcast because I wanted to honor you, Brandon, today. I wanted to honor you because I've been in meetings with you. You are not always the loudest voice in the room, and you're not chasing applause or titles. But you show up again and again for your workers who are on the front line. And I created, do you know anything about pelicans?
Not a whole lot.
All right. Well, I'm not a bird person, but I live in Charleston. And one thing I noticed about the pelicans is they live and hunt in groups. And they don't thrive in isolation, but they thrive in community and connection. They actually represent teamwork and social bonds and the balance between giving and receiving. So I wanted to give you a pelican award. So this is a pelican, and it's going to have your name, and I'm going to send it to you, because I wanted to give this to you because you're somebody, in the short time that I've known you, that you embody these traits. And I know that you see the strength in others, and you lift them higher, and you give without ego, and you don't necessarily lead from the front, but you lead from the community that you're in. And your work might not always make headlines, Brandon, but your impact, I know it's lasting, and I'm sure those seventh grade students would still remember you. And there's many people in the industry that you've impacted, and your work is lasting, it's personal, and it's powerful. So today I want to honor you, Brandon, for the way you move people forward quietly and purposely, and for the community that you're building and that you've built, and for the balance you bring, and for the lives that you change just by being you, because you are a Pelican and you're part of this community of leaders who make an impact, and I really appreciate it. So thank you so much. And I wanted to ask you to leave us today with some lasting words of advice for frontline workers so we can move forward in the next, for the next decade.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm a lifelong Chicago Cubs fan, and one of their minor league teams is the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. So,
well, there's why. See?
Yeah. So that'll go on my bookshelf behind me and have a dual degree. Yeah. So, you know, I think we are a data rich, like we have more information at our fingertips than we've ever had before. But when it comes to safety and performance, these are human issues before they're operational metrics. So, you know, I really hope that as our industry advances, as growth occurs, you know, and success, and those things are all great. I just hope that, you know, we look at people first. One of the best bosses I ever worked for said that, you know, if the answer to the questions aren't people, we're asking the wrong questions. And
aww,
and that means a lot to me, because I know that that's what they're thinking, you know, as they're trying to solve problems. Yeah, I see on my timeline all the time, you know, like our organizations will say, well, we'll get that done somehow. And then, well, somebody's that somehow. And mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that at least in the roles that I serve our organization in, that I'm trying to think about the people that my work is helping first and foremost. And if I were to ever take my eye off that, I think my efforts would be in vain. So just keeping people at the forefront of everything that we do. Yeah, at the end of the day, we're kind of doing something simple. We're taking boxes and we're moving them. And so in that process, everybody wants meaning in their life and purpose. You know, we all have a why. And I think if we spend time trying to establish those relationships with people and know what their why is, and that they know what your why is, I think if we're trying to honor those things, the work gets done, and it gets done at a higher clip than if it's just, you know, I work Monday through Friday 8 to 5 and I got to do these things. But if they, you know, if they feel like they're part of something bigger than themselves, and they feel like their leaders are part of something bigger than them, you know, people will follow that. And so my hope is that we just continue to honor people and understand that they may be sitting there not really thinking that their wildest dreams have come true and the role that they're serving, but that they have meaning in the work that they're doing. And that, you know, when they work extra hard and they're doing that for their family, for whatever reason that they're doing it for, that they believe that the organization that they're working for honor that in them.
I love that. Honor your people. Brandon, where can people find you? Where can they connect with you? What's the best way to reach you?
You know, I have a work email, and that's about the best place to get me. Over the last couple of years, I've stepped away from social media to just really focus on, you know, my family and my work. And so I don't spend a lot of time out there in the open, but
okay.
I'm always interested in discussing, you know, trucking and leadership and education. So,
All right.
We can publish my email, and you can hit me up anytime.
All right. Thank you, Brandon. Keep being our leader on the front line. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Dr. Gina Anderson here. Thank you so much for listening to On the Frontline, the Safety, Learning, and Operations podcast. If you are a successful director, VP, or C-level executive, and you're solving some of the toughest challenges in training, engagement, and risk reduction, we would love to have you on this show. Please visit podcast@learningwithgina.com and apply to be a guest. If you got something out of this interview, would you share the episode for me on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend, or just post it on your social media channels. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show. and use the hashtag on the front line. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. It means so much to me. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content, so make sure you don't miss an episode and go ahead and hit subscribe if you like it. Your thumbs up, ratings, and review go a long way to help promote my show, and it means a lot to me and my team. You want to know more? Go to our website, learningwithgina.com or lumabrighterlearning.com, and follow me on LinkedIn and Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.